Well, Mike and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info.info, and today is Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2010, and this is hour 120 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. He was taken to a luminescent sphere near Saturn as a visitor and returned with their message. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis, and hello to everyone else.
It's good to have you back. It seemed that week went really fast.
Yes, it did, as a matter of fact. I did a lot of other things.
So, were you out fishing?
No, I didn't go fishing. But busy with other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can start off with... question from Paul J.S. He says, hello, Michael, Curtis. I've been reading that Jupiter has turned into a sun and is currently hidden behind our sun. Supposedly, a large mothership is located where Jupiter normally resides and is projecting a hologram of the old Jupiter's image. It is explained that when this new Jupiter sun's rays hit the Earth, that ascension will move forward rapidly, both for Gaia, G-A-I-A, and Gaia,
yeah,
and for humanity. Any thoughts on this? Paul, signed Paul J.S.
Thank you, Paul. It sure sounds like the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, the end in which Jupiter ignited. Well, it was just implied. And that's out of the mind of Arthur C. Clarke. And Arthur C. Clarke was essentially a type of a seer. He was a one who already had developed a certain level of ascension, essentially. Blending or melding of the technological and the spiritual together in a form in which to help to inform all of humanity of the very concept of an ascended human being, one in which has moved to a next higher vibratory level. One of the things that is important in that aspect is that he used figures of speech, or perhaps intense in using the motion picture concept of using a ignited Jupiter. It's always stuck in my mind as the interesting concept of Jupiter igniting as a star. Coming within itself, holding within itself until it ignites. However, what is more important of all of those things is understanding what is required, what will happen during a heightening or an ascending being. When a person enters into what I saw as the chamber of renewal, resurrection, and regeneration. It actually is a chamber that has irradiation not only of light and of different exposures to different types of ray or electromagnetic radiation. The most important factor is not known to us, but in itself, it is a form of spiritual radiance. It is a way of uplifting matter First of all, we've got to understand, and what it was introduced to was morontio material. Material which is placed between our material position and the spiritual position, someplace in between there, in different levels. Morontio material is also morontio energy and morontio physicality. And one of the interesting things, first of all, that is, if you can just imagine this, is that morontio materials are partially gravity responsive. For ourselves, physicality is three-dimensional position, four dimensions, which is time. One of our base three-dimensional plane in which we function in is gravity responsive. Can go back to the concept of just, you know, aha, you know, an apple hits you on the head concept. Gravity is, material is gravity responsive. However, spiritual material is non-gravity responsive, and morontio material is partial gravity responsive. So what is partial gravity responsive? It bears similarity between both aspects. It literally straddles both of them. It is both viewable and not viewable, and responsive to gravity, and also can be non-responsive to gravity. But one of the most important things is that we are functioning in an area which is filled with the base building block, which can be considered the material that can fabricate the morontio plane of material and spiritual. That requires an excitation of a pre-energy, pre-matter material that they say and they know that our whole universe is truly filled with. They gave me this picture to draw for you in words. Imagine our universe is a absolutely still surface of a clear reflecting body of water, let's say a lake, and surrounding the lake are perfectly reflecting images of the surrounding environment. That lake's imagery is not true. It's just a reflection of what's around it. But by vibrating its surface, we can create distortions or a higher level of environment. Some people look at it as no longer having its beauty and reflections, and its beauty of reflections remaining, but it actually is being perturbed by an outside force. This clear plane or lake, like pure reflecting surface, is much of where we actually live. And the perturbations of like wind blowing over and making that lake less beautiful, less clear, is essentially the excitation of a higher level of matter. In other words, what is actually there, or the reflection, is not destroyed. It is added to, and in using our, you know, our vision, we can see this concept of adding to a surface that, if we weren't aware of it, we would just think it'd be as real as the reflection, I mean, as real as the material around, surrounding that perfectly reflecting pool. And reflecting pools were always used to try to symbolize by our higher up friends trying to give us this understanding. And find reflecting pools used many places in temples and stuff. So you can say that our being, where we are at, is not presently influenced by, let's say, the wind over the surface of the lake. It's perfectly still air. Nothing is happening. Essentially, ascension will influence these energies across that plane of our plane of existence, and that blowing in will create a whole nother level of being, and it's indeed somewhere right in between, essentially not very different, but much like how you know, and the wind begins to blow over the surface of this clear reflecting pond, that you begin to realize, this surface is not the same, it's a reflection. And as the wind blows over the pond a little bit more, or the lake a little bit more, it becomes a little bit more and more and more unclear. And that is due to the influence of course the wind. Now, that wind is the power of the ascension. It's that energy that is, or not, it's not even classified as energy, that is used in those chambers. It's a spiritual force, but really not a force. It is pre-existent. It is fundamental. It has its relationship, a very close relationship to the automaton, this pre-existent pre-matter building block, and it's from there that we have the ability to move blocks, but not move off, essentially from this, our base plane. You might say that we actually move slightly off of it initially.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we start to bear some of the actually more and more of the non-responsive to gravity, non-responsive effects of such a thing as that. So I don't know, I might have made it not so clear, but it is a effect of an ignition of, or an outside ignition of energies. And again, I say it's kind of incorrect to use the term energy, because it is pre-energy that is being used to literally help to change us. And it requires both the spiritual and the physical to be the straddling points to build the in-between. It requires those two points, let's say, to make it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the spiritually related point, you're only stuck in the physically related point. The assembly is very difficult to create.
The assembly.
The assembly or the ascension is very difficult to create.
You mean create Excuse me.
An ascended being, a being of a higher order of both physicality and spirituality, and having both move closer in this intermediate structure. Yeah. Much closer and more organized. And when you get more organized, it tends to form a, can be classified as more crystalline. Chaotic structures don't crystallize. Basically, so it becomes a more ordered, more durable structure of material, yet made out of the same substance.
Similar to crystals?
What I'm saying is that crystal structures that we play with, when they become unified and simply grow, are ordered, molecularly ordered, but can be found randomized in a more non-crystallized state. That's not what I'm really talking about. I'm talking at a much, much, much smaller level. And this level is close to what they use in the construct of the New Jerusalem building, the physicality of it. Life in a different state is really almost like a technology. It was put to me very simply in terms of the structure of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem was being built or continuously grows, and I made a very simple, assumption. I said, oh, you mean like how a tree grows? And I said, no, it's not like how a tree grows in an exact sense, but in a way it is. But the structure of a tree is built on a cellular structure. Cellular point of view, where the order of its structure are internally or by the cell's assignment grows. What they can do and have done is the external influence to create the change or the growth. It is not ordered via only DNA instruction set, but it is externally influenced to the point where they can construct with it. A base, like crystalline material.
Is this crystalline material the same type of crystalline material found here on Earth?
No.
So this is a
not at all the same. Because of the way they are able to use this one area, which basically falls back on my mistake, where I just said, "Oh, why does that ship need wings? You know, space has got no atmosphere; it's empty." And I said, "Oh no, space is not empty; it's filled to the brim; it's full." The idea of this is very, very much where we are heading in our own physics, in our own understanding today, beginning to realize that, and soon we'll discover that space indeed, beyond theory, in reality, is not empty. And once we realize that, of course, we can, we'll initially become quite amazed at that, but at their level of understanding, they actually use that that what makes up this our space for many things, which include the creation of much more durable living matter, living material, like even their ships seem to be alive.
Are there ships and this crystalline material, is this part of that, what we thought space was empty, but you said there's all the stuff in space.
Yeah, it's filled with, it's not neutral. It's more like I say, it's there, like the absolute still surface of a lake, a mirror reflecting lake. Mm-hmm. But they know how to project onto it the influences necessary to you know, get a different result from just having perfectly still environment. You create, you know, waves. If you know how to project on a lake, you could, you know, when you start playing with things like that, when you're a kid, you know, you notice that and you just start blowing on the surface of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And getting different results in the reflections and different images. Your mind begins to look at all of these things because you're influencing it. What was once just the, you know, an image of the surrounding, whatever, reflection.
So,
to something much different.
So
this is a really, really simplified concept of mm-hmm. what they're doing.
So this material that they build with, is this found in the emptiness of space?
Yes.
And is that emptiness of space, that material, is that what was used to build the New Jerusalem and also their spacecraft?
It's found, well, they use base material that, of course, it can be found close, what we can see is material that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also combined with this other influence, which is neither matter nor energy, someplace in between. It straddles both the spiritual and the matter. So it has non-gravity responsive potentials, but can be made to be gravity responsive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like spirit is non-gravity responsive, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts are non-gravity responsive. Your physicality is very much gravity responsive. Yeah.
And you mentioned things that weren't, that were also in between. And is that this crystalline material?
Yes, it's the order, how they will reorder or order, can actually order or reorder the material, both temporary as well as permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Permanent and temporary?
Yeah, well, there are times in which perturbing my slick lockstep physicality to be able to go through a wall,
mm-hmm.
and it pull me through a wall, they just sort of like de-link my mass. In other words, move it slightly off. And then because of that, I can move through what seems to be a absolutely solid wall. But I'm no longer locked into its step.
So are you saying...
But then it's only a temporary shift.
A temporary,
and
right.
Then, you know, yeah, I'm basically not changed. But there is that same concept of vibratory. That was just moving the oscillations slightly out of phase, but now moving them back into, not only in phase, but on a higher level. Yeah, that's another whole basis of influence that is more permanent, which tends toward ascension. And ascension is a long process.
Well, getting back to this changing slightly, or
yes.
This temporary, as you said.
Yeah.
This temporary slight change in oscillation, is that so you can move between the atoms?
Yes. That's what they told me.
So in other words, it's a solid
thing. When they explain, when I tried to say, how did I go through the walls, you know, that was part of my sitting in that classroom environment. That was one of the questions.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's another question I never really ran the explanations through, mm-hmm. because it was given, the explanation was given to me as viewing matter as oscillatory columns, okay,
mm-hmm.
and how all they did was shift me to the side, and all of a sudden there's gap. I can walk right through the sides, but being where I was, all these columns were in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And if I and I and that's the way we are. We're part of that structure. And all it did was say it shifted us me to the side, and now I could move through. They gave that as a vision, a simplified understanding.
When you walked through, did it feel like you were held back in any way, or did it feel like you weren't held back at all? You were like walking through a shadow.
You don't feel it. You're still organized accordingly. You just shifted to the side.
I guess I'm asking, did you have to squeeze through, or did you flow through like you were just passing through a shadow?
Oh yeah, or it didn't feel like you had to squeeze through.
Not squeeze through.
Yeah. So that is only accomplishable if you are moved to a higher dimensional. You know, or shifted dimensionally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What people would call, many times, vibration-wise, different. You know, but oscillatory, or actually, it's not. It's just phase-wise. That's why I didn't really change. I'm still a mortal being. But when there is a change in frequency, not only in phase, these columns are no longer your home ground. You're no longer lockstep in. You no longer see them as blocking your way, you know. You are essentially now, what you're talking about is being able to squeeze through them because you're part of it, but not, you know. So many of these concepts of psychic abilities, physical or telekinetic abilities are all kind of the squeezing through of, you know, you kind of rub me. You're not really flowing right into perfect ease and things. It's because you're still closely aligned to where we are, very closely aligned.
Well, that's really interesting. I often wondered how they pass through walls.
Well, yeah, all it is just phase shift, taking me to the very, very small, much smaller. Basically, they said it'll take me down to like an atomic level, but they didn't really say it was the atomic level, but basically an oscillatory level where all of our matter is all lockstep, functioning in synchronization. Our digital world, if it wasn't for synchronization, would be chaotic and would make no sense. But because of the synchronization, we can move with lots of information. And this information can be, you know, take all kinds of forms depending upon how we want to encode it and decode it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot to take in for a moment there.
Yeah, well, as far as Jupiter igniting, I don't know if Jupiter is ignited, but as far as what they gave me in terms of understanding, that's all I can share.
So getting back to Paul's question about Jupiter projecting a hologram used to be?
No, I think he mentions a mothership.
A mothership projected a hologram.
Hologram, yeah. I don't think that that is happening quite exactly in that way.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to project the hologram to us in a higher level hologram or higher level of consciousness, the holographic consciousness, the way in which we will truly be governed, not governed by, you know, some authority, but in reality governed by a harmonization with the divine guidance, the spirit of truth.
Insane.
Yeah. But if we don't develop that, like I say, if we're only locked into the needs of this world, and which are only based for the temporal, and we don't extend a new point outside of this physical dead place, we cannot go through the transition and literally have that construct with the unstep that totally neutral, well, it's not, neither neutral nor positive material. It is real material, but it's not material. Very strange. Space is not empty, put it simply.
So, all right, getting back to that, space is not empty. What is there in space?
Well, first of all, we got visible matter. Now we are moving toward the concept of dark matter, which makes up most, which is, you know, our physicists today begin to say that makes up most of space. What is this dark matter? Well, first of all, dark matter, according to what is basically non-luminescent, does give off light. Well, then again, does take up space. Well, mm-hmm. then again, maybe not. According to what they told me is that it is filled, and it really does not take up space, but does. So essentially there is another component of it being very interesting is that it is non-time responsive. And we have, it's not gravity responsive, it's not time responsive, but can be made to be. And once made to be, like that influence that you can blow across that surface of the water, and it can be made to be a little different, and you can construct with it. So
you can construct with this material.
Yeah, we're getting way beyond what my ability to understand it enough to give words. I've got to invent new words, perhaps.
Well, it's...
But it's this transitory area in between. But it does, that same material does make up our... this is a very important point. I think I forgot to include it. But that same material makes up what we know as real material and energy. It's the way it is influenced.
It makes up real material.
Yeah, it's the same stuff. It's just how it is arranged.
How the
It's neither molecular nor atomic, you know.
Atomic.
Yeah, it comes down to almost the concept of the brain theory, membrane theory, or brain theory, which is an evolvement, it's evolved out of string theory, which goes back down to vibrations again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in any case, we're living in one one part of the influenced material. This material that is when influence, you can build, we can build with it in structure and stuff like that. It is real, what we call real material, yeah.
So we're living in the part of the real material.
What we call real material, but of course, you know, this thing, space is really not empty. From there, you can fabricate, you know, the universe.
So let's just say our space shuttle or other satellites that are in orbit, but also in space, they're traveling through this. Are they traveling through this material or around the material?
They're traveling through it. The material is there in spite of the fact that they're moving. And one of the interesting things is that they are technology has gone to the point where it can swim through the material. It just sort of like goes through it, like it's not being influenced by much.
So, but it's, are you saying we go through the material like a boat goes through water, just around, the water goes around the boat?
No.
Or are we literally going through it and the material is going even through the astronauts?
Yeah, exactly.
So this material doesn't move at all?
No, it doesn't, until you know how to use it.
It doesn't move at all until you know how to use it.
Yeah.
But we can go through
it. If you
want
to use it, but it's part of our... Well, when it is activated, you got it, space-time activation, mm-hmm. and you got it, our real three-dimensional plus time, then time. But when they can shift that space-time lockstep of who I am, I can move through what would be considered solid material. And in much the same way as it seems like the space shuttle would be moving through empty space, and yet all that material, or all of this is part of their going right through. In other words, it is not responding to that influence of, you know, whatever be static or types of attractive influences, dynamic influences.
So their spacecraft probably uses this material because we've seen the spacecraft or alien craft go in one direction, stop and make a 90-degree turn, or just instantly turn.
When you're inside of it, there's no feeling of movement, none at all. And this is what essentially, if we were to look and understand how they use, one aspect of using this material is positionally. They're not moving. In the view, it is the viewpoint of the craft that they are moving the space around them, and they're staying in one spot. The entire universe moves. It's a whole different viewpoint.
All right, you lost me there for a moment.
Yeah, that's a pretty big trying to come to that understanding, but...
Let's just say you're going out from Maui to Saturn in one of their spacecraft.
In their spacecraft.
Are you saying the universe...
De-link from our time-space mm-hmm. alignment and move the space to wherever they want to be. That's why I asked them, aren't we going to ram into the asteroid belt? And they said, oh, we go around it. And then it was so funny. They looked at another guy. I think he looked at me. He already understood what I was thinking. Going around it, which means steering right around, and you know, like on the road.
Fall
on the road, you steer around it, right?
Right.
But that's not that way. then they began to show me. And this is what I'm trying to explain. They de-link from time-space and move the whole universe to where they want to go. So this is a whole different viewpoint of moving. And that's why there's no feeling of inertia and things like that.
Is that using that that emptiness of space that we think it's empty, but they say it's full?
Mm-hmm.
Are they using that material to travel with?
Yes.
So in other words,
sort of swimming in a sense, but not, you know, action-reaction concept. Mm-hmm. Very different.
Now, when their spacecraft are here in our atmosphere, is that material here in our atmosphere?
Yeah, their material, yes, their material is.
I mean,
in their strange, some of their strange maneuvers, especially their winking in and out, that has to do with that phasing in, phasing out concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically, you know, they're not going. They don't go from here to there. They know exactly about that kind of motivation, and they use it too. But there's also the other one, which is more hyperdimensional. I guess you might say hyperdimensional, because you de-link from our time-space.
Mm-hmm.
But this requires a real understanding of this material between spiritual and our physical, and how to use it, how to be it, too.
So could their spacecraft maneuver without this material? Since it's everywhere, here it is in space, it's here on Earth. And
mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that's similar to is there's material, let's say the electron.
Mm-hmm.
You put your computer on a table, let's say you got a laptop computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it on a scale. Turn it on, so it weighs the same as you turn it off. Now, where all that energy come from? It's flowing electrons. Okay, now let's say you put on a huge power transformer. You put it on a scale, and it's hooked up to a non-electrified grid. You turn the power on, and there's no difference whether it's on or off. Seems like, yet there's a tremendous flow of energy that can be harnessed. You make that energy smart, or you make it just powerful. That's electricity. They gave me a hint. It says, in your understanding of electricity, some of what we're trying to explain is can be related to that, whether it be static electricity or direct current or alternating current or intelligent, you know, electricity with make it intelligent, give electricity intelligence. Much the same way they use this material, but it's much, much less dependent upon the velocities that electricity is limited to, which falls into the electromagnetic spectrum, which limits it to the speed of light.
Okay.
Yeah. We understand, we've given, some of our physicists come up with this concept of bending space, and how even, you know, you use some things to bend space and time and all that. Yeah, that's partially what they're doing, but they're using even more than that. Because that bending of space and time, and concepts of how to do it are also used, but their, you know, their creation of much more durable physical bodies higher level of understanding and perception. All of these things are related to both the spiritual and the physical being bridged over in that bridge zone, bridged over zone. Varancha, material, metamaterial, maybe, I don't know.
Well, the people who are listening to this, I'm sure they have a question in their mind, and send it to curtis@helloearth.info, and I'll ask Michael next week.
Yeah. It is also the material in which we propagate spiritual knowledge, accessing spiritual ability, the propagation of instantaneous knowledge.
Tell me more about that.
Well, it comes down to, in order to transition, we need to transition into our consciousness through these channels. It requires the interfacing unit. We have, by our pineal gland, an interface, which gives us some much more sensitive attunement to this realm.
Through the pineal gland?
Uh-huh.
Any other part of our body is important here,
or
is it just the pineal
gland?
Well,
there's the fact is that this heightened energy, spiritual energy, first of all, but this neutral, which is either energy nor matter, someplace, and it's on an extreme scale. If we were to extend out our reality from where we are to pure spirit, which is totally gravity non-responsive, and to someplace all the in between. We begin to find out that there is areas that function differently. It's not just one continuous progression all the way through. There's a point in which the electromagnetic spectrum is no longer a part of it, but it is a continuance into this. Because the electromagnetic spectrum is related to how they essentially influencing this building block of what makes ourselves real. This building block is perturbed to create the electromagnetic spectrum, light, etc., and real matter. And in the more ordered or crystalline area, Marancha material. Now, the responsiveness of what we are in terms of picking up some of the spiritual energies and then assembling them into our consciousness is a real elevated process, a real and elevated process that we as living beings just have to be woken up to and then pay attention to it. So getting to an important point is that if we are only going to be concerned with the three-dimensional provisions for our life and time provision for our life, we're going to be stuck with only one leg, having not straddled the spiritual leg across to bridge this interface. interface between the two is where eternal life is where faster than the speed of light exists, where all of this this exists, but is pre-existent material.
Yeah, I'm just listening and absorbing this. This is
well, you know, it all comes back. They use a lot of this, the fact of just a little bit of understanding about electricity, how it is, well, it can be energy, it can be intelligence, it can be a picture, it can, however you manipulate it, and what, instead of manipulating electricity, they are manipulating this higher level material or lower level material. Stuff that actually makes up what we know as atoms. You know, it's just that what makes it up is the way it is being influenced or vibrated.
Mm-hmm.
And they are able to, like I say, take all of that organized vibration or music, which we see as reality. And yeah, if I wanted, they need to move me through a wall to just shift me a little bit out of phase, and I'll pull me right through the gap.
Well, they had to do that just before you reach the wall, or you'd
slam into the wall, right, exactly.
Oh, sorry, we didn't turn that switch. Sorry, Michael.
Yeah. There are people who have had terrible accidents, plane crashes, things like that, who swear they went right through the fuselage and things like that. And the plane's burning, and you know, they're alive on the outside and can't figure out how they got through there. You know.
Hmm.
So sometimes some guardian of destiny that they have, you know, a celestial friend. They needed to pull them through because they needed to accomplish another purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
So they quickly manipulated their oscillations.
Yeah. Or shift, just move them out of phase a little bit.
Hmm.
Essentially, when you move out of phase, you're not readable already, copyable in radio lingo, readable, copyable.
So when they, when you went right into the New Jerusalem sphere, was your whole ship taken out, the oscillations changed? Or was there really an opening in the ship that opened?
When I went out, and I didn't, I don't even, all I know was when they gave me, they were like points in time, when they opened up the viewing panel, or the mm-hmm. viewing screen, like we can see the outside. So one time you're in there and you're loaded and you, okay, we're going to go back. And next thing is, okay, we're outside, and they just show you, here we are outside. We're still at Saturn. You can see the rings of Saturn in here. Wow, it's a close-up of one of the moons there, I want you to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn a little bit and say, see those stars up there? And I say, yeah. And I say, that's where I come from. And Nella, Pan and Nella point to a different spot, you know. And then it went dark again, and next thing you know, I'm at Mars.
Mm-hmm. So this material in space is very interesting, that our space shuttle will, with the astronauts, are going right through it, and this material is not going around them, it's just going right through them.
Yeah, they're just like oblivious to its reality. So it's, you know, non-influencing on the material that is actually...
It's a real mystery, this material, to us.
Well, that's this concept of where we have of dark matter. but then we're classifying it incorrectly as matter.
And it's not matter at all.
It's pre-matter and pre-energy.
You said it was halfway between
matter. Well, it's halfway. Yeah, and it can straddle. Well, it can be used to straddle between the spiritual and the physical.
This space material, what you're saying?
Yeah.
Can be used between the spiritual and the material.
Right.
Is this
of course, right now we're just, you know, clunking away with the materials that we have here and then using them in very in interesting ways, you know, and learning much more about them. And we keep looking at things materialistically. But until we realize that both the spiritual and the material are connected, but that we need to straddle both of them, we cannot construct the in-between, you know, which is very important.
So we need to straddle both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know.
And when we do that, where are we headed?
We're headed on a journey and making our psychic circles of destiny. And that, of course, is via, you know, a personal journey of enlightenment and ascension in terms of process and abilities, because as ascending beings, physical beings, as we ascend, we begin to create this realm in which we can influence living material, make sick material well, you know, things like that.
Any other comments you can think about straddling this material again?
The ancients.
The ancients?
Always, you know, try to give us a perspective, and they ended up having an obvious understanding that there's all these people, and they're knowing they're in the physical plane with physical needs, yet in terms of this higher level influence that came down, and which essentially may have been responsible for some of the great religions of the world, try to get our consciousness moved and to a point in which we can start to become seekers of truth, and in so doing, we end up maturing in some of the straddling process and literally building this in-between material.
Building this in-between material.
Having, first of all, not divine material. Divine, becoming more of a divine being. Yeah.
Wow, this has been electrifying.
Well, yeah, that word, electrifying, is really what, you know, the ancient religions of the world were trying to do, was trying to electrify humanity or give a higher level of life and understanding of life so that we can straddle eternity. Become truly divinely inspired eternal beings.
Wow. Well, seems as though we are becoming more sophisticated human being.
Oh, definitely. And not only that, we're also living longer. When I went over to Cambodia, our guide told us that people over there, their life expectancy is about 50-something years old. That's a lot less than what we have today over here in the United States, which is, well, it's getting closer to 80 already, 70-something. And a little factoid here is that when the Social Security system was created and eligibility of age 65 was made, the life expectancy was around 62. I think we've at least gone 10 more years beyond that, and that's why they want to make Social Security eligibility 70 something.
Yeah, they want to keep pushing that date.
Push it, yeah. Because basically they initially designed it so that most of the people couldn't live long enough to participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're living even longer, which is a sign that humanity is ascending somewhat in terms of the physical length of life. But there's some other things that needed to be put in place in order to make that possible, which is our understanding or our society's structure, the way we live.
Well, Michael, thank you for this, because the listeners and I are hearing things we've never heard before.
Well, it's hard for me to try to do that, because it's like almost trying to explain something I can't really show you.
Yes, it's difficult. And then we only have this English language to use as our tool.
Yes, yeah.
To explain this.
Yeah, but much of our ascension process is happening right now. Just first moving our consciousness away from our 3D-dimensional needs and requirements over to the spiritual. At least from that point, the in-between becomes more attainable. Higher-level abilities begin to literally become real.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Michael. We're past our hour, and it's been enjoyable. Thank you very much.
You're most certainly welcome.
Right on the edge of my seat for this hour.
Yeah, and aloha.
And time to say aloha, and we'll... people, the listeners, I'm sure you have questions on this hour, so send them in and we'll filter them through for next hour and learn more about this. So thank you, Michael, and aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha.